Martyrizo, a Greek word that means mocked or mockers. Probably the etymology of the word means to make a shape with your mouth to moo, okay? And it means to make light of, to jeer. It's one thing God won't put up with. What falls in that category? False teaching? And for you to do what's wrong when you know better. When you break one of God's commandments, get ready, friend, you're going to get it. God will not tolerate mocking. Now, the reason we opened our Bibles here to 2 Why are we covering this? Because in a museum in New York City, blatantly and openly is a portrayal there paid for by taxpayer money, ridiculing and mocking Jesus Christ, showing him in the form of a female, which that's no big deal, but nude, totally, completely nude. And the 12 apostles around him, and strange that Judas is the only white one in the bunch. Not that that has that much to do with it, but it's obvious that it is blatant hypocrisy coming out the gate. And I thank God that the mayor of New York City is attempting to do something about it. Christians should not tolerate mockery. No other religion will. If you were to do that to the Jewish religion, they'd have you tired and feathered and run out of town. Why is it that they can do that to Christians? Because Christians keep their mouth shut when they shouldn't. When we are offended, we let people know it. We should. You know, they come into this Christianity of, just don't rock the boat. Well, hey, if you don't have Christ in your boat, you better rock it. It's going to sink. You have to stand for something. Christ said, if you've lost your saltiness, I'm throwing you in the street. So you have to stand for something. That's why we're covering this point. It's going to get worse. But we will be making our challenge, and we've already started on television, on national television, and so here we are on national television today. Well, does that concern you that you might offend the artist? No, if I had an axe and I was in the museum and turned loose for about 3 seconds, I would fix the pictures real quick, because it's an abomination to God. God will not be mocked. Okay, so why have we picked Acts chapter 2? Well, this is when Elijah, when the horseman of God, the carriage of God came down and took Elijah up. Elisha was standing by and he said, I want your power. And Elijah told him, well, if you see me depart, and the mantle falls on you, it's yours. You've got it. Well, I have no doubt that this was the same vehicle Ezekiel described that God's throne was on in Ezekiel chapter 1. And that within this, Elijah was taken. And Elisha saw it, which was one of the signs. And the mantle fell on him, meaning, and you know something? Elijah, the miracles that Elijah performed are exactly twice as many. Elisha's miracles are twice as many as Elijah. Of course, they all belong to God. But we're going to analyze this as to what happened. Elijah is on his way back to town now. The people knew that Elijah was departing, and Elisha, on his way back to town, is confronted. What happened? Chapter 2, verse 15 here. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, I mean, they wanted to know what was going on. See, they weren't close enough to see the actual event. They said to the spirit of Elijah, doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him. and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Doesn't that look so religious? Don't believe it. A religious leader knows fakes when he sees them. Doesn't take long. Don't believe everything people say. It'll get you embarrassed sooner or later. Test the fruit of the tree. It's that simple. You know a person by their actions, what they do. If what they do is crummy, they're crummy. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts. But hey, they are religious, they look religious, but what do they do? 16. And they said unto him, Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Let them go find Elijah. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, Ye shall not send. Elisha told them, don't send 50 men looking for Elijah. Will they believe it? Will they obey it? No, they don't believe, see, that God took him. Why? They're supposed to be prophets. What kind of prophets do you think they are? What kind of religious people? You judge religious people by their actions. You got two eyes, you got two ears, use them. For there will be mockers more in this end generation. Verse 17. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, they begged and begged. He said, Send. Hey, if that's what it takes for you, get it on. He knows what they're going to find. Not a zippo, nothing. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. Why? God had taken him. 18. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, naturally, he wants to show them. He said unto them, Did I not say unto you, Go not? 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, look at them whimper and wimp down here now, okay, like a bunch of wimps. Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. In other words, these are miscarrying grounds, everything in it, the cattle, everything. Now they're testing him, say, saying, Prove it to us. Prove it to us, Elisha, that you can cut it now. Verse 20. Doubters, in other words, you got it? You got to keep your eyes open, friend. 20. And he said, Bring me a new curse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. 21. And he went forth into the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. They shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. It's going to produce, in other words. Now, are they going to believe it? I'm sure many of them didn't. Well, it's nice he said it. All he did is pour a little salt in the creek. I mean, that's normal. That's common among people, okay? That's their attitude. Unless they're believers, true believers with faith. 22. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Now, as I stated, they've done quite a bit of mocking here in this business. I mean, Elisha told them, you don't send 50 out, you're wasting your time. Oh, yes, please, let us, we're gone. We just beg of you. We just want to prove that you know what you're talking about. So what happened? God will not be mocked. Verse 23. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. This, the old idol shepherds had kind of taken over here. Bethel is house of God in Hebrew tongue. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city. Now, the word here for little children is Nar, and it means young men from 20 to 40. Okay, so don't picture these as little tots. They're not. They're men 20 to 40 years old. Bunch of smart mouths. They came out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, "Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head." Do you know what happened after that? 24. And he, Elisha, turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. Did he hold still? Did he put up with it? No, he turned and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 40 and two of them. Kind of like 42nd generation might pay attention, huh? Like those of Psalms 22 that were set aside for a certain generation at the end might should pay attention, huh? And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Why did Elijah, why did he get so angry? All these called him was bald-headed and go up, go up. He lived 40 years after this, so was he premature bald? That's not what made him angry. You see, Elijah went up, and they're mocking him, saying, "Now you go up, now you go up." But it never happened. Now here's what's important. What did Elisha, the word tear here doesn't necessarily mean kill, okay? I'm sure some of them died. It means to rip and to tear. And in some cases, put in pieces. Do you think Elisha made the bear come out of the wood? I don't think Elisha was just a man. I don't think he had that kind of power over the she-bears. Well, who did? God. God will not be mocked. So, in a sense, you are to stand your ground as Elisha did. When something is awry, speak up. When it is possible, and if God leads you. Now, that doesn't mean in every situation. There sometimes is none of your business. So then you keep your mouth shut. But spiritually, you pray in that regard. Don't worry, God will let the she-bear grab them. God will let the she-bear tear them a new one. Okay? If they fail to listen to God. God will not be mocked. Why? That was a very sacred thing that happened. God loved Elijah. I mean loved him. Because Elijah was true. When all else went others went astray, Elijah stood. And God saw in him one that had faith. And then for them to mock the mantle, the very mantle of God that was upon Elijah's head that fell to Elisha. A bunch of knucklehead, loudmouth, smart mouth youth come along. "Go up, bald head, go up." God got him. Okay? So when you see things as we have seen this past week, don't worry about it that much. But if you are in a position where you can speak out, speak out. I would really hate to be in the shoes of the artist and those that were behind getting it placed on public display in a public museum paid for by taxpayers' money. God will not be mocked. He will take care of his part of it. But we at least have to make the charge. We at least will not stand still for it. We will not tolerate people trying to make second-class citizens out of Christians. Christians have a bite. After all, we are the majority. And if you can have a bunch of people sing the majority to sleep and take them over, then the majority didn't amount to much, did they? Get a little salt in your cornbread. And amount to something. God will not be mocked. Now, when we look at the way they treated Christ, I mean, it can bring tears to your eyes, basically. When you look at what he suffered for you, to pay a price for you. I guess the question is, are you worth it? What kind of fruit are you producing? Are you salty? Or are you a mess up? Okay, we all fall short at times. But God is looking for champions. We're in the last hour. What are you made out of? What was? Open your Bibles to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 26. When I say we must speak out, I don't mean you should make a fool out of yourself. Fools and Christians have no business together. You use wisdom and you do it God's way. This is what Christ did for you. He took this for you. Why? He was in the process of being crucified, whereby your sins, which we're not perfect, we all mess up. We fall short. And he knew he had to pay the price. With perfect, the perfect sacrifice. But my point is this. Look how they mocked God, Emmanuel, God with us. Do you think they're going to get away with it? I would hope you would know as a Christian, ain't no way. Verse 64, Matthew chapter 26. Jesus said unto them, well, maybe we better start with 63 so we get the subject here. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, you're the one that said it, not me. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. 65, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. Now, I want you to note, was it some bartender down on wherever in Vine that caused the man of God trouble in both cases? It was religious people. Prophets in Elisha's case. And here, I mean, you've got the high muckety duck, the priest of the biggest church in the area. Beware, friend. False religion is the biggest mockery of all, or one that claims to be of Christianity and isn't. It's like poison in the midst. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. Now bear in mind, he's all alone. All alone. You know, a brave man dies once, a coward dies a thousand deaths. All alone. What are they doing to him? 66. What think ye? Question. They answered and said, he is guilty of death. What did they do then? Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying what? Saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? Probably the highest ridicule and scorning and scoffing one to do is to spit on someone. You know, that gets you in trouble if you got a few old Marines around. We make quick work out of people like that. Well, he took it. And he took it for you. You know what? He didn't say a word. Because he was on a mission. And that mission was to pay for your sins, our sins. Now, let's skip on if we may. I mean, and bear in mind now, this is Emmanuel, God with us. He was mocked, spat upon, and scourged. Chapter 27, just keep going right on over there a little bit. We're going to verse 27. Verse 27 reads, I mean, this, the trial continued on, okay? And Pilate, Pontius Pilate has just said, I will have not this innocent blood on my hands, and so forth. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! I tell you this, God shall not be mocked. Now let me ask you something. You carry the name Christian? You see, he stood there, and he stood his ground. He did what he was supposed to be doing. Do you? Do you? He did it for you. Whatever you do in these end times, God's looking for some champions. Think about the witness. Think about the false Messiah. Think about what is truly important in life. Weigh it well. 30. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. How would you like to be in their shoes, inasmuch as God shall not be mocked? Just think about it. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And they did. They did crucify him. But you know what? It was for you, for me. Why? We're not perfect. We mess up at times. And he knew we would need that help. Do you know something? Emmanuel, God with us, did it himself. But don't ever forget, God will not be mocked. In other words, he has a leveling device that levels everything out. You're always going to get what you got coming to you, friend. Always you're going to get what you got coming to you. God will not be mocked. You're not going to mock him and get away with it. That's one thing he simply will not put up with. So that makes it a pretty serious thing. Well, what happened to these people? I think you would know, compared to what happened to Elisha's accusers, what most likely happened to them. Go to Galatians with me. Book of Galatians. And I want to pick it up in chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Galatians, the letter to the Gauls, verse 1 of the New Testament, Galatians 6, verse 1 reads, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, I don't know, are you? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, never jump on, never pile on. In the first place, you don't have to, friend. You know why? God is going to get those that need it bad. I mean, big time. So you can afford to be generous. I mean, after you knock them down, pray for them. Okay? Be sweet. I jest, you know that. You don't have to knock them down. God's going to. Okay? Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the burden? Love. Okay? It means simply help if you can. That doesn't mean you're allowed to be an enabler. If some poor thing is trying to get off drugs, that doesn't mean you should just help them a little bit. Give them a 20 spot so they can get a couple of fixes or whatever it costs. I have no idea if you could get a fix for $20. I doubt it. I don't know. I've never had a fix in my life. The only drugs I've ever received was on the battlefield. And boy, did I need them. Okay. I didn't know that much about it. But anyway, don't give them the $20. There's a time to be sweet. Do you think it's love to give them enough for a fix? Do you think that's love? Uh-uh. Do you think that's help? The answer is no. So common sense goes a long way with helping. You help someone to find the right path back, and until they're ready to walk that right path, you don't help them, because you would fall in the line of enabler. Common sense prevails in all things and all conditions, so utilize it liberally when making a decision when to step in. All right? Verse 3. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He's a fool. Fools like to deceive themselves and be bigger fools. Okay? Play with fire. You know, most people, when you play with fire, what's going to happen? You're going to get burned. God's going to see to it. So, well, how then can we know what we know? You get it from God's Word, and you do it God's way, or you're mocking God. And God will not be mocked. Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, not somebody else's. Test his fruit. Well, let's see, what has he produced for the family? Well, let's see here. What good? Well, what bad? Well, is he really a Christian then? Or is she? Well, that's something you as a Christian must analyze. You can't hold still. God will not be mocked. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Don't compare yourself to somebody else's work. Okay, you're gifted among right in your own self. Your blessings count your own. Don't count somebody else's. Don't say, boy, I'm really doing good because look what brother did. No, I'm sorry, that doesn't add up. That's not yours. You wear your fruit. You are what you are. I don't know, what do they call you? It doesn't matter what they call you is in your own, because people call you all kinds of things. But you know what you are in your heart. And God will not be mocked. 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. You reap what you sow, friend. I can't carry your burden for you. I guarantee you, you're going to carry it. And God shall not be mocked. I mean, that's the rule. That's the rule of love. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That means when knowledge comes into the group, share it. Don't hide it under a bushel. That's to say knowledge from God, not man. Test it out. Well, how do I know it's from God? It'll be in his book. And if somebody tries to lay something on you that isn't written, throw it out. It's worthless. His fruit stinks. It's no good. I'm talking about those that claim it's religious when it isn't. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. No way. Up, down, or in between. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Friend, it will happen every time. You can pray, you can tromp, you can do anything you want to, but if it's already sowed, get ready. You're going to reap it. God, you know, listen to me. God will not be mocked. That's one thing he won't put up with. He's long-suffering. He's got a lot of patience. But don't ever try to mock him. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I don't know how long is... How much do you have in your bank account in heaven? Or are you draining it? Kind of like an old bottle. Down it goes. You want to remember it is that is spiritual that counts. God will not be mocked, especially if you know better. Okay? Verse 9. Now, just a minute. I don't want to put anybody on a guilt trip here. I don't know any of us that's perfect. We all make mistakes. You want to repent, that washes it clean, and you want to get started. All right? Just so I want to have the spirit of love within this. But I hope that you're looking further ahead than your lifetime in the flesh here on earth. Because that's just a drop in the bucket compared to what we have in store. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his... we got that, okay? And verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He didn't say... He said, if you're a Christian, you're going to be persecuted. Get set for it, friend. They persecuted Christ, they're going to persecute you. You saw how they mocked him. They're going to mock you. But my whole point is don't hold still for it. I don't know. If you're a Christian, are you going to let somebody say, Christians stink? You know, you can't help a fool. Now, I understand what I'm talking about here. But you're going to stick up for Christianity. If somebody comes off with a bunch of trot, that's false teachings, and they have asked your opinion of it, you're going to give the truth. Knowing God won't be mocked. Well, they might resent it. Doesn't matter. If they ask you, lay it on them. If you're a guest in another church, then really act like a guest. You know, a lot of people kind of get that confused. Well, if I'm in that church, I feel I've got a conviction. Well, maybe you do from God. I don't know. But you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of some kid. You know, if you go into some church as a visitor, and they mentioned the rapture, and you said, it ain't true. It reminds me of some little kid that they passed, you know, he's a guest in somebody's house, and they passed a jar of cookies by, and he takes what he, and he's got a nice carpet. He said, ew, peanut butter. Never liked it. You know? That's what it reminds me of, you know? So wisdom is a wonderful thing. Possess all of it you can. And use good judgment in all things. Now, digression, maybe so. I don't know. Use your own judgment and let it always be to the glory of God and let it edify. Do you know what that means? Make better. Edit it to where it is better after you leave the place rather than down. You know, you can kind of judge your life by that. How people were before you met them. That is to say, when you entered the room. And then what are they after you leave? What did you bring? You know, may it be peace. You know, people can sense a good spirit. That's the fruit of a good spirit. Don't faint in good doing. Bide your time. Knowing, this is something that helps you a bunch, knowing God is not going to allow mocking. Verse 10, and we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That means Christian. You especially, you don't harm a one of them. You don't bring any bad thing to them. Or, guess what's going to happen to you? God will not be mocked. Verse 11, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. You know, Paul didn't write much. Why? Well, he couldn't see all that good. So Luke usually was his scribe, Luke or someone, most often Luke. And here he's saying, I'm signing this myself, and you can tell by these big letters, I mean every word of this. What he's saying is, don't think that Luke took this on his own. I'm signing it, and I'm sure many of you might think it would look like a child signed it, okay? Here I'm writing this way, all right? And probably he might have wrote the other way. No, he was a Hellenist. He would have written that way. But he's saying, this is, I mean exactly what I'm saying, and I'm putting a special signature so you know that I mean every word of it. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. I don't know what your desire. Think about it. What is your desire? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, you got some people that are going to come along from the old school saying, well, according to the Bible, you must do this and this and this. Do you know what it's saying? They're just playing one-upmanship. Because if you're a Christian, you know that has nothing to do with it any longer, and it's blasphemy. If you say circumcision is necessary aside from cleanliness, you're a blasphemer. Do you know why? Because Christ shed the last drop of blood that is necessary for salvation or sacrifice. And that's what circumcision symbolized. In the beginning, the circumcision now is of the heart for both male and female in Christ. What he's saying, you're going to have some religious that are going to come along and say, there's a bunch of do's and don'ts you got to go by here in this house. 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. You think they're going to keep it on other things? But desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. I saved that person. I brought that person to the Lord. Well, did you bring them there and leave them empty? Or did you fill them with the Word? You haven't got them saved yet, friend, if you haven't taught them the difference between the Messiahs. You just got them headed in the right direction. And you know something? I may have some bad news for some. There is no person. Some of you have saved lives, flesh lives. But none of you has saved a spiritual life. Why? Only Christ does that. That's what his name is. That's the business he's in. You may have assisted in the surgery. That's cut out all the old bad, you know, and leave the good. You may have assisted in bringing them to Christ, but Christ does the saving. Thank you all the same. Okay, he's quite able. But these people will say, yes, we did it. Look how much we've done for these, but they don't obey the Word. They mock God in doing that, and God shall not be mocked. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. This is serious stuff, my friend. Because sometimes we Christians do that, and that's one thing that makes him get on your case in a hurry. He's very serious about that. Verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In other words, if you have a person that comes to you and doesn't teach Christ crucified, don't listen to them. Oh, what do you mean, brother? That means the four W's, friend. Who crucified him? Why they crucified him? Where they crucified him? And so forth. All right? Because it's all entailed within. In other words, if you don't know who did it, you don't know. You don't have the key to David. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, you here in the end times, what about you? You know, what has the Word said that would make this important to you? Well, it's for all time, number one. God will just simply not be mocked. But I made the statement earlier, it's going to get worse and worse, and by sometime through this coming week, you're going to see it on television, that this museum that I mentioned with this abomination nesting within it, something's going to happen, okay? Something is going to happen there. You'll hear about it. That's maybe mild compared to how bad it's going to get if Christians don't start standing up. Well, you don't understand, brother. That was mostly against one certain church. All Christian churches stand together when it comes to Christ being desecrated. There's no difference in that sense. Christians stand together. Or, guess what? They're not Christian. It's that simple. Let me put it a little different way. If one worships Christ and they won't stand up for him, after what he went through for them, what kind of a person do you have on your hands? Whoa. I'll guarantee you, well, be that as it may, combat people can cull out some pretty quickly, okay? They really can. People that paid a price that we have the freedoms in this country to teach God's word, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. It kind of gives you a special in for rights, where you'll make a lot stronger stand for rights, because you know some old boys that paid a pretty high price to have them before us today to enjoy. God will not be mocked. To document to you, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. If you don't think it's going to get worse, then you don't believe God's word. Because God insinuates throughout the New Testament, through the disciples, the apostles, through Christ, and to all, that it's going to wax worse and worse. But at least, let me ask you something. All Elijah did was cursed in the name of the Lord, the people. God took care of it, all right? What does that mean? We have to at least voice that we will not tolerate it, then God steps in and takes care of it, okay? He will move filth out of your midst. One way or the other, it happens. I believe that. Chapter 3, 2 Peter, and it reads, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Now, kind of, if you don't have a pure mind, this isn't written to you. I said, if you don't have a pure mind, that means your heart's right, wanting to know truth, that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you have faith in him. That's what brings forth a pure mind. It means also in the Greek, sincere. Means you're sincere in what you're doing. Hey, you can. I'll saddle up and ride with you if you're sincere, even if you're not a very good warrior. Because I know enough about combat, I'll make up for both of us, all right? You can be on my team if you're sincere, because you at least won't cut and run. Verse 2. "That ye may be mindful of the words," that what? "The words which were spoken before by the holy prophets." That means back about Elijah and Elisha. "And of the commandment of us the apostles," that means the New Testament, Matthew 26, 27, and many others, "of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers," you can count it, that's jeers, "troublemakers," people not sincere, "walking after their own lust." And it's going to get worse, friend. You know what they're saying, many of them, for? And saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. What is that saying? I don't believe the Bible. You know, show me. It's all the same. I just can't believe it. And certainly they would have never read Psalms 22. Certainly they would have never read about the parable of the fig tree, which updates us to 1948. Certainly they would not have watched the conflict that has transpired since then, that has destroyed communism, basically. Not totally. It's going to rise up again, friend, in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Count on it. A lot of things going on. It is happening. But you're going to have them. So don't marvel that on television you hear garbage directed at Christianity. One good way of doing it, you know, there's one group of people that they boycott, you know, rip off, blackmail. I really wouldn't want any part of that. But if some company sponsors something that is biblically wrong, I'm not going to buy their stuff. Okay? I'm not going to help them if they support blasphemy. I'm off their case. At least for a while. If it's Folgers, I'd have trouble. I shouldn't have mentioned a brand name on national television, but verse 5 to complete and to conclude. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. They don't even know about the first earth age. Do you know that that's what draws a lot of them off? They'll hear some Bible-thumping preacher say, this earth is only 6,000 years old and the Bible says it. Well, they're lying. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says this earth age is approximately 6,000 years old, but the first earth age came before that, and it's millions of years old. So they utilize false teaching to trump up and give a mindset that even turn off when they hear truth, because some Bible thumper said 6,000 years. Well, he was my mama's preacher. I don't care if he was your grandma's preacher. A lie is a lie. You better stop putting faith in this preacher or any other preacher without checking it out for yourself, seeing it in writing, in the manuscripts. Because you know something? There's a day coming when you're not going to have me around, your mama, your daddy, people you use. It's just you and God. And he's going to say, come here. And he's not going to ask you, what have you done? He's going to open the book. And he's going to say, looks to me like you mocked me, boy, on June the 22nd, 1901. I'll just say that so I don't put somebody on a guilt trip here, okay? And what are you going to say? Bah, bah, bah. Are you sure? He'll say, I am positive, he will say, okay? You're going to fess up, friend. I mean, you don't have to fess up. He knows. So that's why you want to be, and like I say, he wrote you this letter to you personally, to all of us personally. Now we're all his children. I don't know, is he ashamed of you? I know he's ashamed of all of us at times, but Lord, try, okay? Ask forgiveness. Let him know you love him. Straighten your act up. Don't ever do things that mock God or expect to pay the price. Why? You reap what you sow. Guaranteed. But you don't understand, preacher. I just want good things and sweet and bitty-by stuff for life. Then why did you do it? He knows. So, May God have mercy on the soul of that person that paints an abomination publicly in the name of religion. May He have mercy on their soul, but may He punish their flesh because they need it. And hey, I don't have to pray it. He'll do it. Okay, hey, I love you all. God shall not be mocked. I felt led to bring this because of this past week, what we're seeing happen to Christianity. And some people are snuffing about it. It's not funny, friend. It is not funny. And I am ashamed for Christianity that is not making more noise. I guarantee you, we've done our part in lodging this national telecast in opposition to blasphemy. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving You, Father. We ask, Father, that Thy will be done. And very soon we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you. One time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
Okay, let's get into some questions here. We're going to go with, excuse me, Janie from West Virginia. Who is Mary's father and where is it written? Hela from... And you will find it in Luke chapter 3. Why? Well, because the genealogy given in Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy of Joseph, Mary's husband. But Joseph had nothing to do with the birth of Christ. So therefore, our Father makes it very clear that as was supposed in print in Luke chapter 3, which means as by law, then if Heli and did not sire a son, then the genealogy through Mary went to Joseph as by law, just like if you marry a girl, you have in-laws. Well, that's what it is. It's brought up to today's law. That's why in Luke chapter 3, you don't have any begats, because it was by law, in-laws. Dick from Pennsylvania, would you please repeat where the Bible says, don't teach my people to fly? I think you said it was Ezekiel. You got it right. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 20. God wants some people that can place the gospel armor upon themselves and stand against the fiery darts of Satan. Ephesians chapter 6. And... In the 13th chapter of Ezekiel, in verse 20, he says, I'm against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. And he says, back in verse 18 and 19, he says, they sew pillowcases and put them over my outstretched hands of salvation. And rather than letting me save them, they teach them to fly to save their soul. And I'm against it. It should sound very familiar to many people in this generation. And then maybe you can understand why it is that so the whole world whores after the Antichrist, thinking he is Jesus come to fly them away. I know that I could sure be a lot more popular if I didn't teach that. But I would rather, if I'm going to teach God's word, I'm going to teach it truthfully, or I'm not going to teach it at all. I'm not out to win any popularity contest, but to please and give pleasure to Almighty God. That's his words, not mine. How can I know that? Well, check it out. Dick has and wants to. Ezekiel 13, verse 20. Clara from Oklahoma. A churchgoer told me to stop seeking God because I drink beer and God doesn't like it. Don't you think this person that told me to stop seeking God is a real sinner? Well, I would think so. You know, you got a lot of these little hypocritical judges, do-gooders that run around that have no common sense as to how God says to win people over to his house. Do you know what wins people to God's house? Is truth, not judgment. However, you are more mature apparently than that person. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. But control yourself and represent our Father as best you can. Think about it. Susan from Georgia. Which song of Moses are we to learn by heart? Well, none of them. It simply states that we're going to be singing it. Okay? But there's nothing wrong with learning it by heart, but I've never told anyone that you should. Many people have, but the main thing is to learn the gist of it, what God conveys there. My question is, because in Exodus 15:1, it seems to go more with the chapel's teaching rather than in Deuteronomy. Please help. Well, Deuteronomy is the song of Moses, and the chapel teaches Deuteronomy 32 as the song of Moses. The song that Moses sang in Exodus 15:1 is Moses and all of Israel sang it. Well, they were happy to have that come to pass. They're both excellent songs.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The book of Mark, one of the apostles.